Well, hey everybody, Donna here, and I want to welcome you to 21 Days Empowering You for Breakthrough. And I'm so excited about what God is going to do in the next 21 days in our lives. Thank you so much for joining us. My special co-host is Deanna Allen, and Deanna and I met under some really fun circumstances. One of my favorite people in ministry is Joanna Weaver. I'm sure many of you are familiar with her phenomenal best-selling book, Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. And Joanna and I ended up becoming great friends when she invited me to speak at her church in Montana. Her husband is a pastor, and her primary calling is to be a wife, a mom, and a pastor's wife, and then after all of that, to be an author. And so we just really hit it off, became great friends. She invited me back to the church the following year to do another retreat, continued to grow in our friendship, became prayer partners. And she contacted me and said, Donna, I've been invited to go into a prison. And having been Christians in her family for generations going back to Jonathan Edwards and the first Great Awakening in the United States, you know, she's not real familiar with the whole prison vibe. And I grew up very differently. And very comfortable going in and out of prisons and that type of thing, very different background from hers. So she said when she was invited into a prison, her first thought was, if I'm going, Donna, I want you to come with me. So I said, that sounds great. Let's go, and we'll go and minister in the prison. And shortly before the day arrived for our illustrious prison ministry tour, she had to pull out. And I'm like, well, the only reason I was going is because of Joanna. I wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to support her in her first foray into prison ministry and kind of be there to hold her hand and support her. And now she's not going, so why am I going? And I was very tempted to just pull out of the whole thing. And something inside me said, you know, onward. Here we go. God has something. And when I arrived at the prison, I met Deanna Allen. And wow, I was just absolutely blown away by the power of God and the anointing on this woman. And I'm sure Deanna will share more about how God called her into prison ministry. I don't want to spoil it for her, but she has a powerful ministry in prisons around the United States. And we went to, I think, three prisons around the state of Colorado and ministered together. And it was just an incredible time. And her and I just ended up becoming great friends, prayer partners. And I've traveled in ministry on six continents, and I've met many, many powerful men and women of God. But I can honestly say that there are very few people anywhere on planet Earth that I've encountered who hear more clearly from the throne room of God and have more boldness in proclaiming the will of God. And just reading your mail. Have you ever prayed with someone who, or even heard a preacher, and you're like, they're reading my mail? Well, that's Deanna Allen, and that's why for this 21 days of empowering you to breakthrough, I asked her if she would be here to be that prayer warrior over you and also to share those things that she's hearing from God. So, you know, no, she's not a best-selling author. No, she's not out there on some big speaking tour, and you've probably never heard of her, but you know what? God sure has, because when she goes in to the throne room with boldness, trust me, God has her, she has God's attention, and he has her, so I know that she is going to be a tremendous blessing to you, and God is fixing to do some amazing things in and through her life, and I think you're going to be blessed to be among the first people in the country to really see, wow, Deanna Allen. And I think in the years to come, many, many more people are going to know the name Deanna Allen. So we're just honored to, she's probably going to be mad at me for saying all those amazing things about her, but I don't care. I want you to know that we are really in good hands with this woman as our ace prayer warrior. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and open up in prayer and begin a brief time of teaching. Then Deanna is going to share a devotional and the word for the day. Each day the Lord is giving her a word for all of us to pray into and ponder. She's going to share that. And then we're going to open up the phone lines and we're going to pray for breakthrough for one of you ladies. So be sure to call in so that we can pray for you. Father, we just thank you so much that because of Christ and because of the blood of Christ shed on the cross, that we can have breakthrough. We don't have to go from birth to death in a state of bondage. even if it's a low-grade bondage. Some of us are in powerful bondages, addictions to drugs and alcohol or sexual sin, the biggies. But there are other women on the phone who are in bondage to things that are perhaps more socially acceptable, but no less destructive in their lives. Maybe they're addicted to food. They're addicted to their favorite TV show. They're addicted to American Idol. They're addicted to mediocrity. That their life is just not where they know you're calling it to be. And it could be something as small as a hobby that just takes away from what you really want them to do. So, God, you're going to show us every area of our life that is not in alignment with your highest and best call upon our lives, because that's what we want. We want the epicenter of your will for our lives. We don't want to settle for second best. We know that there's your acceptable and your good, your pleasing, your perfect will for our lives, and that's what we want, your perfect will. And your perfect will includes us walking in absolute freedom and absolute God confidence as the women that you've called us to be. And that is our goal for these 21 days, that those, the sin that so easily entangles and all those things that hinder us and hold us back in the race that you've called us to run, that they would be broken off, that we would cast those things off, and that we would go to a whole new level in God. God, I know and I believe that you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just so thankful for this experience, and I'm so thankful for confirmation. That's one of the things that we look for in our Christian life. When we feel like God has spoken something to our hearts, we're like, okay, was I imagining that, or was it really God? We always look for confirmation. Of course, we look for confirmation first from his word, but then confirmation may come from a sermon or a book that we're reading. And in my case, it came from Joyce Meyer. I love to tune in, you know, when I'm doing the dishes or cleaning the kitchen, I'll put my laptop on the counter and I'll tune into Joyce. And I had launched this class, 21 Days to Break Through. And I'm like, okay, Lord, was this the right thing? Is this really you, or did I just make it up? And Joyce shared just last week, she said, if you want a breakthrough in your life, the best thing that you can do is help someone else get their breakthrough. And I'm like, yes, Lord, there's my confirmation, because there's an area in my life that I've been praying for breakthrough. And so it was just really, really cool to get that confirmation. I'm going to encourage you, the first thing I'm going to talk about is fasting, because I don't believe there's no way, this is my opinion, that you're going to get a breakthrough apart from fasting. Jesus said this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. And when he was talking about this kind, he was talking about those things that are really hard to get rid of. And that's what a bondage is all about. Let me start with that, and then I'm going to go into an acronym of feasting, because we're going to do fasting, but really this is a time of feasting. And I do hope you have, by the way, that you're taking notes and that you have a brand new notebook, and hopefully it's a pretty one that you're going to use for these 21 days. How do you know you need a breakthrough? When you're stuck, when there's a blockage, when you feel like something or someone else is at the wheel of your life, you're not in control, because you've made a million resolutions and goals and plans to change this area of your life, but you can't do it. And at this moment, you have to acknowledge that apparently Jesus is not at the wheel either. Because if Jesus had taken the wheel, you wouldn't still be skidding on the ice. You know, you'd be back on the right path and walking and traveling the road that he intended. So you're not at the wheel. Jesus isn't at the wheel. Something or someone else is at the wheel, and you are just not moving forward. What is a bondage? A bondage is any area where you can't do what you want to do, or you keep doing something that you don't want to do. Even the Apostle Paul knew about that. He's like, what is wrong with me? Those things I want to do, I can't do. And the things I do want to do, I can't do those. What's wrong with me? Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Jesus will. Jesus will deliver you. And how do you know? Here's the clue. New Year's resolutions. If you've had the same New Year's resolution for about a decade, that's a bondage in your life. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, but you don't year after year, or you don't and then you gain it back. That's a bondage. because you're not at the wheel. If you are not doing what you set out to do, that's an area of bondage for you. If you can't take off the weight, clearly you're in bondage to food, man's food. Or you're in bondage to the couch, so you're not getting up and exercising. You're not doing what you said you're going to do. Or maybe you, every year, oh, I'm not going to watch soap operas anymore, but you can't do it. That's a bondage for you. I'm not going to nag my husband. But you can't stop nagging that man. That's an area of bondage. I'm gonna have my quiet time first thing every day. That's it. I'm going to wake up, set the alarm, get out of bed, have my quiet time first thing. But you don't do it. You're in bondage to the snooze button, and you turn off the alarm. So a bondage is any area of your life where you can't do what you would really like to do, or you keep doing something that you don't want to do anymore. It really is that simple. The other clue, your permanent prayer list. You know, the prayer request comes up, and here comes that prayer. You know what mine was? The women at my church. When I was a young mom, of course, my oldest is 22. My youngest is almost 17. So this is, you know, decades ago. Every week, prayer request, yes, I want to be a joyful, effective mother. I want to be a joyful, effective mother. And I just, you know what, I was in bondage to misery and ineffectiveness, okay? So I needed a breakthrough with parenting. It's a recurring theme in your life. What's an addiction? When does that bondage become a full-blown addiction? It's when you are just absolutely powerless to stop, completely out of control, and it's to the point now where it's not just something that you'd really like to do, but you're not doing it, or something that you'd rather stop, but you can't. This is an area where it is destroying your life or having a profound impact on people around you. That's when it's become moved over from a bondage to a full-fledged addiction. And that's kind of maybe a fine line there, but that's the way I would define it. Now let's move into our acronym of FEAST, where the F stands for fasting. As I already shared with you, I do not believe it's possible to get a real breakthrough from an area of bondage or an addiction apart from fasting. Now, there are entire books written on fasting. I've taught extensively on fasting in prior classes, especially the Hope Again series. I did a full one-hour teaching on fasting. Let me just say this. Fasting, and I may be a tiny bit controversial, we've dumbed down fasting in my mind. Well, I'm going to fast by giving up chocolate. Giving up chocolate is fantastic, and I would strongly encourage you to do it. You know, I'm going to give up chocolate for 40 days. That's great. But that's not a fast. I'm going to give up, you know, a food group, which is fantastic. I think any time we can say no to our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, I want, I think, I feel. Anytime you can deliberately say no to something I want, you think, or you feel, it strengthens your will, and it's a very good thing, but it's not a fast. The goal of the fast is to get into what my pastor calls the fasting zone, and it's a physiological reality, and when you experience it, you will know that you are experiencing it. It's hard to define, but it is a place where you begin to disconnect from the world, the things of this earth, grow strangely dim. We sang that at church yesterday. I was like, yes, that's my song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When you are in the fasting zone, something begins to happen, and your eyes are turned upon Jesus. And you're looking full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world are growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And if you've done a type of fasting that didn't bring you into that place, I would suggest to you, sisters, that you are not in your fasting zone. And what's interesting, and I've never heard anyone teach this until I heard our pastor teach it a week ago, is that there is a zone, and it's different for everyone. And some people can get into the fasting zone, I would say at a minimum on the Daniel diet. That's a minimum. Some people can get into the fasting zone on the Daniel diet. Again, the fasting zone is a physiological place. It's real, where you're beginning to disconnect from the world and connect with Christ. So you're going to write that down. What is the fasting zone? It's a physiological place where you begin to disconnect from the things of the world, and spiritually you begin to connect with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. So that, I'll give you an example. When I did my 40-day fast, I can vividly remember floating through an airport. I mean, I was not part of this world. I mean, there was Auntie Anne's soft pretzels. There was Cinnabon. There was Chili's, and I'm talking my favorite nacho platter with some extra jalapenos. There were aggravating things going on. It was all those things that usually tempt me when I'm traipsing through airports. And I was just floating through that airport on a billowy cloud of ease. I had no interest whatsoever in pretzels or Cinnabons or any of those. It just had no hold on me whatsoever. And when annoying things happened, it didn't affect me. I was disconnected from the things of this world. It was me and Jesus, man, going to A15, gate A15. It was unbelievable. And there is a fasting zone for you. There is a place, and you will feel it, you will know it. And I love you enough to tell you, see, not everybody's as bold, you know. Well, yeah, okay, great, you're going to give up, you know, chocolate for a month, and that's your fast. No, that's not a fast, unless it gets you in the fasting zone, okay? And you're going to have to watch for it. I think at a minimum, the Daniel diet, and I wanted to share with you a website. It's Daniel Plan. DanielPlan.com. It was created by Rick Warren, and it's got all kinds of, I mean, don't go too crazy with it, but I mean, it's got all kinds of resources and diets and suggestions and plans and things about that. And basically the Daniel Plan, you know, shares from Daniel, I think it's chapter 10, where he kind of goes into, he didn't have any rich foods, you know, no junk food. He didn't have man's food, in other words. And I think that's really kind of a good guideline. You shouldn't be putting anything man-made into your mouth. You should be having God's food. That would be an absolute minimal fast. And I don't want to get too weird, but there is a guy who teaches on this, and he talks about all the chemicals that they put into man-made food and how it actually affects your brain's physiology and kind of dumbs you down. And I actually think there might be something to that. I don't like getting into that. The guy who teaches this is a little bit of a conspiracy theory guy, so I'm not going to name him, but I think from my experience there might just be something to that. If you just get off of all processed foods, all man-made food, if it's in a box or in a bag, I would not have that when I'm doing my fast. And I hope all of you, if you're serious about breakthrough, all of you need to begin today a 21-day fast. Really, if you're serious about a breakthrough, I don't think you're going to get a breakthrough, or you're not likely to get the same power of a breakthrough, let me say that, apart from fasting. That's why I'm putting it first. So at a minimum, I would say put away all man-made food. If it's in a bag or a box, you're not going to have it, and do some type of a Daniel diet with fruits. And people just argue and fight over this, and I love the way my pastor said it. Look, if you can eat nuts and being the fasting zone, then eat the nuts. But if you're eating nuts along with your fruits and vegetables, then you're not in the fasting zone, then for you, it doesn't work. If you can have whole grains along with the fruits and vegetables on your Daniel fast and be in your zone, then you can have whole grains. If not, put them aside. And it is going to be different for every person. So just kind of experiment with it. You know, begin with, okay, I'm going to start out with salads, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, maybe some nuts and seeds. You know, as long as God made it, I'm going to be pretty cool and pretty chill with it and see how you're doing. And if you're not feeling those two things, disconnecting from the world, connecting with Jesus in a powerful way, then you need to progress it a little bit. I'm finding with this fast, you know, just I'm doing what am I doing? Fruits. I did the, are you ready? The cabbage soup diet. You know, without, I just do the cabbage soup recipe. So I did that with some salads, and like within 3 days I was in the fasting zone. I was like, whoa, this is really working well. So if you want to check out the recipe for the cabbage soup diet, then obviously don't eat the steak. There's a day you're supposed to eat the steak, so don't have any, definitely don't have any meat. Definitely no meat. But that might be an option, thedanieldiet.com. Take a look at that. There are other options, you know, just kind of the apple, I'm sorry, not apple juice, but apple cider vinegar. There's a recipe with that. Lemon water. You'll find your zone. Okay, I probably said enough about fasting, more than I need to, but you need to get into the fasting zone. E is for enumerate. Enumerate. And I want to be really balanced in what I'm going to share here. Enumerate your sins. Charles Finney led a great revival, probably one of the greatest American-born revivalists in history. And he led a great revival during the mid-1800s. And he said this, you committed your sins one by one. You need to confess them one by one. In other words, don't come to God and say, oh, God, I'm so sorry for nagging my husband. Lord, I'm so sorry for screaming at my kids. Please forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry for gossiping about women at my church. Please forgive me. Dear Lord, I'm so sorry for loving food more than I love you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know what? I mean, you're not going to get breakthrough like that. I mean, that's great. That's wonderful. Absolutely, you should do that. But we're talking about breakthrough, sisters. We're talking about an area in your life that maybe has been there for decades. And year after year, you're like, oh, this is the year. I'm going to get free from this thing. But you can't. If you want breakthrough, then it's time to really get serious. Now, here's where I want to clarify. When I say enumerate your sins, I mean come to God and ask Him to show you. Don't go on a fishing expedition where you think of every rotten thing you've ever done and go into self-loathing and beating yourself up. I'm talking about you're in the fasting zone. Don't start this until you're in the fasting zone. But as soon as you're in the fasting zone, then you come to God and you say, Lord, I'm ready. Show me those things that are holding me back from being the woman you want me to be. Show me those things that are preventing me from having breakthrough, and really go at it. And I want to share a personal story from my own experience of how the Lord taught me this. I'd been invited to speak at the National Leadership Conference in Brazil. And every year they have top leaders from all over the world who come and speak. And I was so humbled and honored to be included among this amazing group of leaders. And they were expecting about 800 leaders from all over Brazil, and it was going to be this amazing conference. And just about three weeks before the event, they contacted me via email and said, the Lord has instructed us to cancel all other speakers. You will be the sole speaker. We need you to deliver 13 messages, and each of the sessions runs about 3 hours. Now, I don't know about you, but I was like, okay, this, whoa, I was intimidated to be one of the speakers. Now I was the only speaker, and that was what I needed. I'm like, I got to get in the fasting zone. I need to hear from the Lord because I know I can't do this myself. But with Christ, all things are possible. Jesus can do it, but I can't. So I need to get out of the way and let Him be the speaker. Amen? And so I began fasting, and I pray laying down. I'm going to talk more about prayer positions in a minute, but I actually pray laying flat on my back on the floor. And so I began fasting, laid on the floor day after day, I mean just hours, laying there, and I said, Lord, show me whatever is holding me back. And it was like I was laying there watching a movie screen, and God would literally show me clips from my life. He would literally show me a situation where I was short-tempered with someone. And all I had to do was agree with Him. All repentance is agreeing with God. And there was no condemnation, because there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. There was no condemnation. I would just look at the scene from my life where I had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I just agreed. I'm like, you're right. You're right. I was really harsh in that situation. I was really unkind. I overreacted. You are right, Lord. Forgive me. Change me. Forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry for the way I talked to that person. And then he would show me another clip, a specific, do you understand what I'm saying? Not just, yeah, God, please forgive me for being, you know, short-tempered. No, he was showing me specific times. Or when I was, distracted and not paying attention to my children. Oh, not now, Mommy's busy. Not now, Mommy's busy. And Lord would show me, and I'd be, Lord, you're right. My children, that's my highest calling. Oh, please forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. You're right. I agree with you, God. I'm too distracted. I need to be paying more close attention to my children, more than ministry, more than, you know, writing books and giving speeches to these children. That's my legacy. Oh, forgive me, God. And this went on. Sisters, this wasn't like 10 minutes. I mean, this went on for hour after hour after hour, for weeks. For weeks. Enumerating my sins. Being specific about it. And just don't beat yourself up. Just agree with God. You're right. You're right, God. I need to change. I want to change. Help me change. I'm powerless. And then finally, it was just a couple days before I was to leave for Brazil. And God said, do you remember the water bottle? And I knew in my spirit exactly what clip he was getting ready to play. I had been invited to do a 3-day ladies retreat in the desert in California. And when I arrived the first day, they said, Donna, is there anything that you need? I said, yes. Could you please deliver a case of water bottles to my room? I believe I was going to be fasting that weekend, and I need it. And I drink a lot. I dehydrate rapidly. So I want a case of water. I said, could you please, as soon as possible, deliver a case of water bottles to my room? Well, Friday, I got there early in the day, like early afternoon, right around lunch. So no water bottle. Friday night, I do my first session, go back to the room, no water bottles have been delivered. Saturday morning, wake up, no water bottles, teach all morning. I'm the only teacher at the retreat, okay? Speak all day, lunch, go back, no water bottles, come out, speak all night, speak till like 1, 2 in the morning, go back to the room, still no water bottles. Sunday morning, wake up, still no water bottles, do the Sunday session, communion, the whole nine yards. I leave, they never did bring me the water bottles. So when God said, you remember about the water bottle, I was like, oh, Lord, you're right. Can you believe the sacrifices that I make as your humble servant teaching women around the nation, and they couldn't even bring me the water bottles? Ah! And he was like, yeah, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. And because I'm from New Jersey, God really, like, is just straight up with me. And he said, you know, daughter, if you were really that thirsty, and I need to clarify, go back, pretty much any time I wasn't teaching, what I was thinking about is, I can't believe they're not bringing me water bottles. You probably already guessed that, but just so you know, I was really fixating on these water bottles and pretty upset about it. And the Lord said, if you were really that thirsty, you would have drank out of the toilet bowl. I mean, were you really that thirsty? And I'll tell you, something inside me broke, and I wept. I would estimate about 4 hours. I cried for about 4 hours over the water bottle because I realized in that moment that I was allowing something so stupid, so silly, so petty as a water bottle to stand between me and the woman of God that I could be. And it was really just pride. Was I there to serve or to be served? I could have had to just drink the tap water. Really? You don't like the taste. Who cares? It's not about that. It's not supposed to be about me. And the Lord just broke me and showed me that this is the kind of thing, something that small, I want, I think, I feel. I want water bottles, Dasani, please, or spring water. And I think it's not too much to ask for. And I really feel insulted and slighted that they don't think I'm important enough to bring me water bottles. See, it was operating in the area of the soul. I want, I think, I feel. And the Lord said, this is what's holding you back. And this is what I'm talking about. When I talk about enumerating your sin and really coming to grips with what it is that's holding you back, and I promise you, the Lord is going to be faithful. And you don't have to get upset. You don't have to be angry at yourself. Just agree with them. Say, you know what, Lord? I want to be a power-packed woman of God. I want to walk in your power. I want to walk in your glory. I want to walk in freedom. I want to be everything that you called me to be. And if asking for a water bottle when I could just settle for the tap water is the kind of thing that's holding me back, then I give you permission to show me, Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Enumerate your sins. Confess them one by one. Not just a generic. And then enumerate the cost. What is that sin costing you? And you may be blown away. You may be thinking, oh, it's just a little thing. I love food, you know, come on. I'm Italian, you know, we like to eat, we like to have bread, we like hospitality. Come on, it's not that big of a deal. But ask God to show you. What is that food addiction really costing you? What is that soap opera addiction really costing you? What is that addiction to complaining really costing you? What impact is it really having on your relationship? And enumerate the cost. And I'll give you another example from my own life. When I was in about sixth grade, my family I'm not going to go into it, but there were a lot of problems. And as a result, I wasn't real popular because our family had been somewhat ostracized because of things that had happened in the family. And how I reacted out of my pain didn't help my popularity a whole bunch. So I wasn't a real popular kid. And I was in sixth grade, and I went to a basketball game. And out there on the court was the love of my life. His name was Larry. I was madly in love with Larry, but Larry didn't know that I existed. But sitting in the stands that day, my mind wandered off to a place where I was the most beautiful, popular girl in the entire school, and Larry was madly in love with me. And I spent the whole second half of that basketball game in that fantasy world. And something inside me happened. I had opened a door to the demonic right then and there. I guess through the sin of pride. And for the next, sisters, I want to say almost to the age of 40, so what, 3 decades? Whenever someone hurt my feelings, whenever life didn't go my way, I would go off in my mind to my little fantasy world where I was the most beautiful, wonderful girl in the world and some handsome prince was madly in love with me. And I called them my videos. And they weren't X-rated. You know, I wasn't, and that's how I would just, well, I'm not watching soap operas. I'm not listening to secular music. I'm not reading romance novels. This isn't like a big sin like other people have. It just, these are just my little, romantic fantasies that I have. I keep them PG-13, it's not a big deal. But sisters, it got to the point that I would run to those videos more and more often. And this is what happens with the bondage, the hold. We don't repent. The hold gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And it got to the point where my life, there was so much pain and so much that I was struggling with that I would spend half the day, not in my real world, parenting my kids and taking care of my responsibilities. I mean, I would spend half the day wandering off in my little dream world where I was wonderful and beautiful and Prince Charming was going to come and rescue me from all my problems. And when God really challenged me, in fact, a couple of women from my church, we were praying, and they said, Donna, let go of your videos. I flipped out. I was like, I was a cocaine addict before I became a Christian. And let me tell you, giving up my cocaine was easier than giving up my little fantasy world, my video collection. And I was sitting there. We were in the prayer room of the church in Mesa, Arizona. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was in the rocking chair saying, God, where will I go to be beautiful? Where will I go to be loved? Where will I go to be special if I let go of my videos? And Jesus said, well, you could come to me. Oh, what a battle royal. It was an addiction. It was an addiction. Oh, my heavens. I can't even tell you the battle that I waged to break free. And the women, my sisters in Christ, challenged me as I'm challenging you. They said, Donna, enumerate what is this addiction costing you? Oh, how I wept over that. all the hours that I wasn't fully present. Say, oh, well, I homeschool my kids. But was I really fully present? Was I really fully there? My mind was somewhere else. What was it costing me? What was it costing my children? What was it costing my family to have a mother who wasn't fully present? What was it costing them to be shortchanged from a woman who could have been running to Jesus and being empowered with the Holy Spirit, but instead, every time I was in pain, rather than running to Jesus, I ran to the videos. And maybe every time you're hurt, rather than running to Jesus, you run to the refrigerator, you run to the pantry, you run to Starbucks, you run to the soap opera, you run to the romance novel, you run to the alcohol, you run to the prescription drug. Where do you go when life hurts, when life disappoints? Where do you go, sisters? Do you run to Jesus? Do you run to that place where the things of this earth grow strangely dim? Do you run to the phone and gossip and complain and criticize and backbite? Where do you run? Do you run to the barricades and mount your defense of how you're not the problem, everybody else is the problem? Where do you run when someone hurts your feelings? Where do you run when life disappoints you? That's your bondage, sisters. And maybe it's become a full-blown addiction. It's got to go. What is it costing you? What is it costing your church not to have a mighty warrior that you could be and should be? What is it costing your community not to have a woman of God who walks in the power of God? What is it costing your marriage? What is it costing your husband? What is it costing your children? What's it costing the grandchildren you have now and your future generations? They're being shortchanged. There's a price being paid. And I challenge you to enumerate, what is it costing you? What is it costing your family? What is it costing the kingdom of God not to have you fully present, fully filled with the power and the fire and the Spirit of the living God? Attitude, feast, F for fasting, E for enumerating sins and the cost. A is for the attitude, sisters. The attitude above all others that we must acquire is humility. Humility. And I'm not going to go into it because I'm going to do a full teaching on this. Humility. Oh, how the devil has us fooled. I thought self-loathing was humility. I thought the more I hated myself, the more humble I was. I hate me. Now, that's a three-word sentence. And two of the words are I and me. Hello? It's the sin of pride, self-hatred, self-loathing, insecurity. It's just a mask for pride. Shyness is nothing but pride. Oh, I'm shy. It's pride. Because it's about you. You know what? Fresh from my life yesterday, 2 days ago, my daughter asked if she could borrow my large curling iron. Well, my hair doesn't work apart from my large curling iron. Just saying, all right? I'm not real skilled at my hair. The only thing that works is the big curling iron. I lent it to her, and she took it off to a slumber party. And so Sunday, I'm getting ready for church, and where's the curling iron? The only one that works on my hair. And I'm like flipping. I'm tripping, okay? I'm like, I cannot believe it. I'm getting so upset. And my younger daughter's like, Mom, I can't believe you're this upset about a curling iron. And it hit me. And I went back to my room and I prayed. And then I came out and told my daughter, I'm like, forgive me. That's pride. I think going to church is about my hair. Duh. And I'm not making this up, okay? The evening service, the pastor said, I hope you're not worried about your hair. That's why we keep the lights dark in the services, so it doesn't matter what your hair looks like. And I couldn't make this stuff up. Confirmation. It was my insecurity. That's what I said. I said, I'm insecure. I want my hair to look nice. If it doesn't look nice, what will people say about me? It's the sin of pride. The attitude that you most need for this season of breakthrough is the attitude of humility, so that when God speaks to you, whether directly or through your children, like he did to me, with confirmation from the pastor, from the pulpit, you have a heart to receive that correction, and you hear it. Share. S is for share. You need to share this journey with others. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You want your prayers to be powerful and effective? Confess your sins to one another that you may be free, that you may be healed. It's important to share. That's why we created the Facebook group, sisters, for you to come and to share. And maybe you have other friends that you need to invite from your church, your neighborhood, whatever, and they need to get on board with these 21 days. This is just day one, and we're recording it. They need to get on board with this, but share it with a group. This is not a journey that you can take alone. You need that accountability. Time. T is for time. Lots and lots and lots of time. Lots of time in God's presence. I thought you got to turn off the TV. You got to turn off your videos and all that other jazz. You need time, time, time. And some of us, our quiet time is busy. Now, my kids, just the other day, my older daughter was teasing me because we try to have our quiet time together in the morning at the dining room table. We have our little morning shakes and we have our quiet time. And she's like, could your basket be any bigger? I have Sparkling Gems from the Greek, which is a book that weighs about 100 pounds, and I can't start my day without my word from the Greek. Then I have the Daily Bread, that little paper one, so I got to read that. Then I have my little notebook where I write a word of encouragement to my younger daughter because her love language is words of affirmation. Then I have the Awakening book, which is from our pastor, and I have to do like a Bible reading and a devotional and a journal with that. Then I'm not done yet. Then I have Jesus Calling, so I got to read a page on that. Then I have my one-year Bible, so I got to do it. I mean, is there enough in there? I got to do all this stuff. It's like, are you kidding me right now? Yes. It's crazy. But you know what? Some of us, that's all we do, is filling in blanks and reading and all that. And that's important. But then after all of that, we need time to just be quiet. What's missing in most of our quiet times is actual quiet. And if all I do is all my Sparkling Gems and Awakenings and Jesus Calling, at some point I need to stop all of that and lay down on the floor on my back and just be quiet and let Him speak. Just soak in His presence. Maybe put on a little worship song, but then you turn that off. If you have instrumental worship, that I think is ideal. Quiet time. Extensive time. If you want a breakthrough, time. Soaking in His presence. That's it. I kind of got fired up today. I don't know what happened. I just got fired up and got going. I want to invite Deanna. Are you with us, Deanna? I think we may have lost Deanna Allen. Are you in the line with us? She does not appear to be on the line with us. We may have lost her. She does have a nursing baby. I had really planned to open up and pray for one of you, but this ended up being a lot longer than I intended. I'm going to see if Carla Martin, if you are on the line, I want you to say I'm here when I unmute everybody, okay?
I'm here, Donna. This is Deanna.
Deanna's here. Deanna, are you here?
Yes, I am.
You are. Okay, you're back. Go ahead and share what's on your heart, and then Carla Martin, if you're on the line, we're going to call you out, and we're gonna pray over you. So, Deanna, go ahead.
You know, actually, I just want to to kind of give a very, very, very brief background on kind of my one-word devotional. My one-word devotional actually is, you didn't talk about it yet today, I'm excited for when you do, about the Lance Wallnau 21 questions. But as I was looking over them, it says, you know, Lord, I thank you that I am your sheep and I hear your voice. Lord, I'm taught to believe you love me. What do you want to say to me? And on January 7th, we started a corporate 21-day fast. And what the Lord put on my heart was a fasting to something rather than a fasting from something, although I'm in the fasting zone and I'm fasting, you know, from as well. But the Lord said, you know, each day I want you to take this time. Mine is a time dedicate a tremendous amount of time to seeking what he wants to show me, fresh revelation, one word at a time. So it starts out, usually he's, you know, we're wrapping up the day together and I'm examining what's gone on throughout that day, and he's laid a new word on my heart each evening. And he's just invited me to spend that time in his presence all day throughout the day, you know, during other times when I would normally be doing something else. Come to me regarding this word, and I want to show you things. So you had asked me, you know, to begin to share my one word each day with the ladies. And, you know, while my one word may be really inspirational or motivational to women, I would encourage you to ask God for what your one word is as well. You know, feel free to go with mine, chew on the devotional that God is speaking to me by all means. But, you know, like you said, Donna, if you have this journal and you're writing in it, I know that God is no respecter of persons, and, you know, he has a word for women too. So that's just, you know, my encouragement. So the word for today is believe. Believe. And, you know, one of Lance's questions is, you know, what's blocking me from moving forward in my relationship with you? What are the wrong beliefs? You know, I really think that God is bringing the fire of purification to what we believe. And I was listening as you were teaching, and, you know, you were going through a series of personal examinations, getting down to that root question. What's at the root of my stronghold? You know, when I ask why, I was an auditor for a quality assurance company. And, you know, to get to the root cause, you just ask why until you can't ask why anymore. So, you know, why am I offended when people say this to me? You know, why do I feel that I deserve, you know, to be treated better? Why is this such a big deal? And you keep asking why until you get to the core of it. And like you said, a lot of it is self. But last night, God said, you know, believe. When he was talking to the man, he said, you know, if you believe, and he said, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So the devotional is anything too difficult for me? You know, God really just challenging me, whatever it is that you're facing, whether it's, you know, a mountain or a molehill, is it too difficult for me? What do you believe? What do you believe about your circumstance? And it says this. This was just how the Lord was speaking to me. If you have been looking at your circumstance and have become overwhelmed by the magnitude of it, then you are looking in the wrong direction. Look at me. Walk by faith and not by sight. Focus on things above, not beneath. In your own strength or reliance upon the strength of anything other than me, you will grow weary in the battle. For with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I have not forgotten about you. I am not disappointed or frustrated with you. I love you. Do not be consumed by lies. Do not let the shouts of your enemy muffle out the whispers of my truth over you. You are my child. I have great plans for you. It is my desire that you be free. It's time to let go of all these things that are holding you back. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. If you want peace of mind, you must fix your mind on me. In me you will find strength. In me is the hope of the future. In me alone is the abundant life that you are designed to live. My grace is sufficient. My mercy is fresh each morning. Bring your whole life, each piece of baggage, every heavy weight, and I will free you up to live. Dance, rejoice, celebrate simply because you are mine. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if I am for you, then who can be against you?
Amen. That was awesome, Deanna. And I'm going to post, or if you would go ahead and post that to the Facebook group, I know the women will really enjoy just praying over that and rereading it and letting that minister to them. So that's absolutely beautiful, Deanna. Thank you. And I want the ladies to know we're not going to run this long every day. And we just went long because it was the first day. We're going to try to keep these in the – it'll vary from day to day, but I think we're going to try to keep it in the 15-minute range. You know, maybe it's 15 minutes some days. Maybe it goes up to half hour, but they will not run this long each and every day. And I'm going to try to see if Carla is with us. Let me try this one more time. Let's see. bear with me. I've lost my glasses, so I'm having a little bit of trouble seeing the computer screen here. We're actually not going to be able to do it because I can't find the unmute button. So, Deanna, just close us out in prayer. And Carla Martin, if you're on the line, if you would call in tomorrow, we will have you as our focus for breakthrough tomorrow, and we will pray over you tomorrow. Deanna, do you want to close us in prayer? Or is there anything else you want to share? We'll just close in prayer.
I'll go ahead and share because I did kind of had, and I feel that this is more for a lot of ladies that are on here that are seeking breakthrough, not just for Carla, but as I prayed for Carla's request and read over her situation this morning, this is what the Lord gave me. And he actually had given me a dream several days ago about identity crisis. Whether, you know, we've had word curses that have been spoken over us by others, we've come into agreement with them, we've danced, I like to teach on dancing with the devil. He invites us out on the dance floor to spin us around, and we just stay on the dance floor with him, and he twirls us and twirls us and twirls us in our mind. And really, you were even talking about the core of this, it's focus on self. You know, when we come to the mirror and we look at ourselves and we don't like what we see, or Carla had shared some personal things from her childhood of reasons why she didn't like herself, and basically it was identity crisis. Are we more focused on who we are than whose we are? Because if we focus on God, if we have a single focus, you know, like David said in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing. Could you imagine? I mean, I think all the time about, you know, the angels that encircle the throne of God, and one word for all of eternity, one word for all of eternity. I'm obviously a speaker too. I'm filled with words. One word, you know, to share with God for all of eternity, and the angels, holy, holy, holy. And here's David, you know, the man after God's own heart, and he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So we're not talking about eternity. We're not talking about salvation, you know, where I'm going to go after I die and spend eternity. He says, all the days of my life, there's one thing, if I could ask one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
And let's do that. Let's seek him, and let's seek him in prayer, shall we? Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege of coming into your presence for this hour together in this kickoff of the 21 days to break through. And we do pray, and we stand in agreement that you are going to give powerful breakthrough to many of the women who are participating in this journey with us. Father, we pray that you would begin to speak, that they would begin to get into that fasting zone, that they would have the courage to enumerate those areas of their lives where they're falling short of your glory and just come into agreement with you, receive your forgiveness, receive your healing. Father, that they would adopt an attitude of humility, that they would be willing to hear the truth from friends, from sermons, from songs, from your throne room, that they would receive the truth about who they are and begin to change. Father, that they would be willing to share in the group. God, I pray that sharing would begin to take place in the Facebook group, open, honest sharing and encouragement. And God, that they would make the time. No one has the time. They have to make the time and take the time to soak in your presence and to hear directly from you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ladies, thanks so much for tuning in. Be here tomorrow, same place, same time. Look forward to it. God bless. Bye-bye.